Lead yourself. Lead SA.
Now, of course, every Thursday we use the Lead SA feature to shine a spotlight on individuals or organizations who are trying to make a difference in the community. It's really a personal call to you to be mindful of the difference that can be made with gestures large and small. And today I want to talk to you about an organization which is facilitating a huge book donation to children all around the country. You know that reading is something I'm passionate about. You know we talk a lot about early childhood development and literacy and the challenges that go hand in hand with those topics. Delighted to welcome on the line with us today Dr. David Harrison, who is the CEO of the D.G. Murray Trust, helping to facilitate this huge book donation. David, lovely to have you with us on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Pippa. It's really great to be on your show.
Before we talk about the specific book donation, just for the sake, I mean, I know we've spoken to the D.G. Murray Trust before, but for the sake of those who don't remember those interviews or might have missed them, will you briefly sketch for us what the Trust is all about?
Sure. The Trust is a private foundation in South Africa. I mean, we have the money from Mr. Murray of Murray and Roberts and his wife, who put money aside to develop South Africa's potential. And so every year we invest in a number of initiatives that are attempting to firstly enable young children to be on track by grade four. We also work a lot to enable young people to get their first decent job and build a more inclusive and innovative society at the same time. So we work with partner organizations and with corporates and with government to try and drive some of initiatives to stop nutritional stunting in South Africa, mm-hmm. to promote reading, to strengthen early learning, to develop young people. These are some of our initiatives, and in most of them, we try and ensure that we've got a runway of at least 10 years of commitment.
Okay, so it's big long-term projects with huge potential impact that we're talking about here. I mean, you mentioned that concept of helping kids to be on track by grade four. And I know the stat that nobody has forgotten, David, were those awful figures we heard a while back that 80% of children in grade four in South Africa cannot read to the age-appropriate level. Of course, that's right. Not a problem that starts in grade four. It's a problem that's embedded much, much earlier in life. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of reading early in life.
Exactly. So we know that the brain is most sensitive to language development, and it's most sensitive to stimulation literally in the first year of life. And so children who are not exposed to stories and to words simply lack the imagination. They don't build the building blocks of critical thinking. They don't build the building blocks of empathy that are so crucial for our society. And so if children are not exposed to stories, if they're not exposed to things that can really stimulate their brain, by the time they get to school, they've already lost out and they actually never catch up.
I mean, that's a scary prospect, particularly when you couple it with the figure that tells us that more than half of the households in this country have no access to books for leisure purposes, reading for pleasure, and that only 6% of them have got more than 40 books. Not just the absence of books, but particularly the absence of books in a language of mother tongue is a huge contributing factor here.
Exactly. I mean, it's devastating that you think that half of our children do not experience any sort of written story in the first few years of their lives. Yet, on the other side, and I'm sure most of the audience that we have this afternoon has dozens of children's books often on their shelves that are unused because their children have now grown older. And so we have to find a way in South Africa to ensure that every single storybook that we have in South Africa, regardless of where it is at the moment, gets into the hands of children who need it.
Okay, hugely important that we tap into that idea of recycling the books that our children might have outgrown, but others desperately need. Now, it's a multi-layered, very complex challenge. David, part of it is the cost of books. Part of it is the time for sharing reading time. We're talking here, in many cases, households where parents are traveling long distances to work. They are leaving early in the morning, getting back late at night, still having to then take on the tasks of cooking, etc. future much, much later than you and I might take for granted. And the thought of where do you find time in a day like that to share a story with a child might seem difficult, but it's really important to encourage it, even if it is difficult.
Yes, I think that's right. And you know, I mean, if we're looking at the challenge of education in South Africa, storytelling, even if you yourself cannot read a book, but if you yourself are illiterate, but if you can really spark a child's imagination through effective storytelling, you are doing the job of building that brain for later education. And so that's something that all of us can do. Not necessarily the mom or the child, maybe it's the granny, maybe it's somebody else. But we've got to really create this sort of culture of reading, this culture of storytelling, and understanding the power of stories to really transform the lives of those children. And as you say, it's complex because without books, how do you build the culture? When people are indifferent to reading, you can have books in the home and people don't use them. So we've got to tackle this problem on both sides. We've got to spark an enthusiasm for reading. We've got to make it part of a sort of a national culture, while at the same time ensuring that children do have access to books. And as you say, there are two major problems here. One is that that there've been so few books written. Particularly children's books written in all African languages in South Africa. And here a campaign like Nali Bali has been fantastic in really generating stories in all official languages, in radio, on radio and in print as well. So that's an important part of it. But one of the big constraints that we face as we try to support Nali Bali in their work is the challenge of getting reading material out into rural areas, getting getting it to the children who really need it most. And here the costs of distribution were just prohibitive. The moment you try and do it at national scale, it becomes too much unless you can tap into the logistics and distribution companies that exist already and are already going out to those rural areas.
And is that what has happened now? Because the reason we're talking to you today is because of this wonderful donation of 300,000 children's books. Tell us more of the background there.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, these books are all in English, unfortunately, but they're beautiful, brand new children's stories from the United States that Books for Africa has donated to us. We wanted to supplement that, and we are supplementing it by distributing books in other African languages as well. But it's really a huge shipment that will benefit at least 80,000 children through a number of these programs that I've spoken about. So through 3,400 Nali Bali reading clubs, through 4,000 Smart Start early learning centers, play groups around the country, through 2,000 early learning centers that the Unlimited Child is part of, and through an initiative called Adopt a Creche that First National Bank is running. So we now have the resources to get to those areas. What we didn't have was the logistics, the means of getting them there. And that's where, through a partnership with a logistics company called DSV, they have very kindly committed, at no cost to us, to getting those books out across the country. They're the people who bring your credit card or other sort of courier to your door. Mm-hmm. So they're there, they're out there. And at very, very marginal cost to them, they helped to make this possible.
That is fantastic. Well, a huge thank you to the folk at DSV Logistics for the role they're playing. You mentioned the books have been donated by Books for Africa. Am I correct in thinking that's an American-based nonprofit?
Yes, it is. And their commitment is trying to get books into Africa, and they do an amazing job. They distribute hundreds of thousands of books into schools, particularly in East Africa, and they've been partnering with us for a while. They're committed, you know, to providing many, many more books. We can pay for the shipments, and if we can find a way to keep distributing them and putting them in the hands of, you know, not just dumping books in South Africa, because that's a risk, but putting them in the hands of people who are willing to read, facilitators, story sparkers, early learning practitioners, that's the way that we can start to generate enthusiasm within communities for books.
David, I mean, it's fantastic that this massive drop-off is going to happen already. I've got a couple of listeners I know who are scratching their heads thinking of their own collection of children's books sitting gathering dust on a bookshelf upstairs, and I include myself in that batch. Is there a way to channel those through the DG Murray Trust to people who might need them?
Absolutely. And if people would like to contact us, info@dgmt.co.za, we'll find a way to connect them to Nalibali or to some of these other initiatives. It would be fantastic.
info@dgmt, standing for DG Murray Trust, dgmt.co.za. David, it costs you a lot of money to manage a project like this. You did mention, of course, that it's a private trust founded by the Murray and Roberts founder. Is public donation part of the way of keeping you going forward, or is that private fundraising enough?
No, it's never enough. And if anybody is interested and willing to either commit to a single play group or to multiple play groups or multiple reading clubs, we're very, very keen to find ways to link people up, to partner, and certainly we need additional private donations to try and keep extending what we're trying to do. What we've been able to do through this donation from the US and through DSV is really leverage the relatively small amount of money that we can put in relative to the challenge of South Africa. And if we can now start to mobilize private donations on a much larger scale across the country, I think we can beat this challenge of an illiterate population, which is holding back education and ultimately holding back both jobs and economic growth in South Africa.
Dr. David Harrison, great to have you on the show today, CEO of the DG Murray Trust. And again, thank you to everybody involved in making this possible, facilitating this wonderful donation from Books for Africa. Well done, DSV Logistics, for offering your services to help get them to the children who need them. And anybody listening who's going, I've got children's books I'd like to donate, please remember to drop an email to info@dgmt.co.za.